welcome you to this worship service of Calvary Lutheran Church for Sunday, June 7th, 2020. This is also known as Holy Trinity Sunday. We will be hearing a bit later on in our worship service readings and a message which unfolds for us the mystery of God coming to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray God's richest blessings on you now as we begin our worship today. By way of announcements, I wish to relay to you gratitude for your support of our mission of the month for May, which was the North American Lutheran Church disaster response. There still is an opportunity for you to support that mission for a few more days in June as the backpack and other ingathering of supplies for our disaster response ministry is ongoing. That will be available to you till the early part of next week. We anticipate that there will be a truck coming through about the 15th of June to pick up those backpacks and other items. So if you still wish to participate, you have a few days to do so. You can come in the church in the morning between 8 and noon and pick up a backpack or return those that you may have taken back with you when you were at the church for worship. June is our Mission Servant Month, and I can announce for you the Calvary Cleanup Day, which will be taking place on Saturday, June 13th, starting at 9 a.m. If rain or other inclement weather should occur, that will be pushed back to Saturday the 20th. There's always plenty of need for hands to help with things like placing mulch and cleaning up in the areas of our property. But particularly this year, there's going to be a need for some tree and shrub trimming. So saws and tree trimming equipment and leather gloves for those hands that'll be doing it are what are called for by our Mission and Outreach Committee. I encourage you very much to come to Calvary Saturday morning, the 13th of June at 9 a.m. to help us out. This week, we have the opportunity to say congratulations to four members of Calvary who are graduating either from high school or college, and we wish for you to know now of their accomplishments, and we wish to recognize them. First of all, our high school graduates this year are Emily Berger, who's graduating from Brookfield Central High and will be attending the University of Wisconsin to study international relations and economics in the fall. We congratulate Emily on her graduation, as we do Gwen Ryan, who is also graduating from Brookfield Central and will also be attending the University of Wisconsin, but she will be entering the School of Business. We are very gratified and proud of both Emily and Gwen for their accomplishments. Graduating from college this spring were Elise Baumgartner, who finished her studies at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse with a bachelor's degree in computer science, also minoring in math and Spanish. She will be returning to school in the fall, pursuing a master's degree at UW-La Crosse in software engineering. Sarah Kalupa graduated from the University of Wisconsin, earning her bachelor's degree in computer science and international studies with an emphasis in global security. We congratulate Sarah on her accomplishment as well as Elise, and we ask you to remember them all in your prayers, and if you have the opportunity to extend them your well wishes personally, that would be welcome too. We begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We now take a few moments for silent reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which wert and art and evermore shall be. Hide thee, though the eye may blind by sin, thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power and love and purity. Sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Majestic Trinity, mystery of three in one and one in three, we worship you. Before time, your love burst forth, creating the world in which you took delight. Strengthen us in our faith, defend us from all evil and temptation, and bring us into the everlasting presence of your love, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please pray Psalm 8 responsively. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth! You have set your glory above the heavens.
From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise, because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place.
What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him?
You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor.
You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet.
All flocks and herds and the beasts of the field.
The birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Hello, this is Miss Angie. Let's start off like we do at church every week. Are you ready? I really want to hear you. Good morning. Today is a special day in the church year. It is Trinity Sunday. Who knows what that means? No? That's okay. We're going to talk about that word in just a little bit. I thought we could start out with talking about something you probably do know about. Let's talk about Spider-Man. Who is Spider-Man? He is not a regular person like you and me. He's a superhero. He does all kinds of amazing things. He helps people. He flies through the air with his webs. How does he do all this cool stuff? We really don't know. It's a mystery. But you still know it happens, even though you don't know how. Now, who is Peter Parker? He is a regular guy. He's a teenager with homework and parents. He might even have a job. But when he puts on his super spider suit, he is not Peter Parker anymore. He is Spider-Man. So Peter Parker and Spider-Man are two different things, but they really are one thing together. The Trinity is kind of like this, but way cooler. The Trinity is three separate things, but they are really one thing together. When we talk about the Trinity's three parts, we are talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's hard to understand these three separate parts because we don't really know what they look like. We know people met the Son, Jesus, when he was here on earth, but no one has ever met the Father or the Holy Spirit. Who or what they are is a mystery, but we as Christians know they are real. Whether we do or do not know exactly what the Trinity parts look like, or if it's still kind of confusing to us, we know that all three parts, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, make up our one amazing God. And that one amazing God loves you very much. Now it's time for Pray After Angie Prayer. Dear God, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for giving us the confusing and amazing Trinity. Please help us to understand the Trinity and know you love us so, so much. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we pray and play. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Diversity and unity. Diversity, but not division or separation. Distinction and still harmony. These words might conjure up many images in our minds. They are words especially pregnant with meaning to ears which have listened for almost 2 weeks now to various descriptions of the egregious, despicable actions done to Mr. George Floyd before he died, a man created by Almighty God, on whom God placed his own image. Can we have diversity and unity at the same time? Does the gospel of Jesus Christ have anything to say to our world where it is at this present moment? We have all been flooded with news coverage in recent weeks and months, and it has shown a country divided and in flames. And sadly, this is not just figurative. With these images in our minds, it is hard to imagine what unity might possibly look like, let alone perfect unity, everlasting unity, unity that knows no limits. Today, on Trinity Sunday, the Church finds herself lifting her eyes to gaze at the perfect, eternal, uncreated God who exists as one God in three persons. The Father, Son, and Spirit are distinct one from another, and yet perfectly one. As one of our ecumenical creeds teaches, we worship one God in Trinity, and the Trinity in unity, neither confusing or blending the distinct persons together, nor dividing their one divine being. And if God is the only perfect depiction of diversity and unity put together, but his life had nothing to do with the world he created, well, then we would have no hope of rescue. But as we hear in our psalm, God is intimately involved in the work of his hands. He alone is the fountain of true, lasting unity, and he is the only hope we have as we seek healing for our pervasive divisions, both as citizens of heaven and citizens on earth. So let us turn our minds and imaginations to Psalm 8, which we have just prayed together. The psalm composed by King David is a hymn of praise which begins with these words, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. From this first verse alone, we hear words that reveal God's will to unify the human creatures he made. O Lord, our Lord. David does not intend for the song to be sung in solitary confinement or by a single priest from the tribe of Levi. David boldly addresses the God of all the universe, whose name is exalted in all the earth, as our Lord. The song assumes a people lifting their voices together in unison, joining to worship the Lord. Now we should notice something else that's really curious about this initial phrase, O Lord, our Lord. The first word, Lord, is always put in all capital letters in our English Bibles. This lets us know that the Hebrew word is the name of God that is above all other names, that never gets used to designate any other except the eternal God who revealed himself to Israel as I am. But the second Lord, the one that just capitalizes the L, is actually used many times throughout Scripture more generally as a way to refer to those who are rulers or kings, or sometimes even to heads of households like Abraham in Genesis 18. Any of you who might enjoy watching a good period piece on Netflix can remember many English men who were called lords, though they didn't always live up to the title. So why would David make use of two different words for God, one referring only to the divine majesty, and one that gets used to address even human rulers? Well, David is composing a song that prophesies an earthly ruler, an earthly lord. But this earthly ruler and lord will also be able to lay claim to the unique name which only belongs to God, the Lord, in all capital letters. The psalm directs Israel to the coming King of Israel, Jesus Christ, true God and true man, not two lords, but one Lord, the Son of God who is with God and who was God in the beginning, before the foundation of the world, is the one who would later take on human flesh and live among us. It is this Lord whose glory is above the heavens, who has always been perfectly united with his Father by their love, which is the Holy Spirit. So we hear these unifying words, our Lord. And then we hear that this Lord's majestic name is over all the earth. He does not privatize his name or reserve it to be revealed to a select few people who are worthy. Even though the Lord did choose to specially reveal himself to the people of Israel, he always intended for Israel to make his name known in all nations. He willed that his majestic name would be over all peoples of the earth, Jew and Gentile, male and female, rich and poor, young and old. We hear echoes of the psalm from our reading in Matthew. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Baptize people from every nation in my majestic name that is in all the earth, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then David continues, from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. Even from the lips of infants who cannot yet speak, God has chosen to establish his power and has ordained his praise. Children and infants are obviously weak and powerless when compared to Israel's great enemies. Yet somehow, they silence the Lord's enemies and reveal his mighty power. Think with me for a moment about the strangeness of this. Babies, as we know, are entirely dependent upon another for life and sustenance. They can maybe utter a little cry or a coo, but could they possibly proclaim the power or greatness of the Lord and declare his praise? According to David, that's actually what infants and children do, simply by virtue of the fact that God made them. Perhaps especially because of their powerlessness and weakness, little ones sing God's praises and confound the wise and powerful. And there is one baby who would be miraculously conceived and born to a simple peasant girl named Mary. He would grow as a child and continue to perfectly declare the praises of God as the second person of the Holy Trinity in human form, and so crush God's enemies under his frail and tiny feet. Perhaps you are beginning to hear the movement of this psalm. David brings Israel, and now us too, from the heights of the heavens to the smallest of human creatures, because he is making known to us the one who came down from the heights of heaven to live as a son of man. In so doing, Jesus reveals a unity grander than our wildest imagining, a unity which actually brings together heaven and earth, the Creator with his creation. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you care for him? What is man? What is woman? Why would God choose to think of us, remember us, to seek us out and care for us? Why does God count us so much more precious than the most radiant galaxies in the heavens? Why did God choose to create us at all? God obviously had no lack in himself, no need for more glory or power, no need for greater unity or more complete love. The Father, Son, and Spirit have always existed as a circle of perfect love and perfect harmony. So we'd have to answer, no, God did not have to create us at all. Because he did not have to, that means that he freely chose to create us. And he chose to create us because he desired to love us. He desired to share his love with the whole world, and especially to include human beings in his own perfect love, and the divine love of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, who live in perfect distinction and unity. What is man that God is mindful of us? And we might add to David's question, what is man that God would choose to send his Son to live as one of us? Jesus Christ is the one our psalm called for, who would be made a little lower than the heavenly beings. He condescended to be a son of man with us, giving up his glory and sacrificing his life on the cross so that he could bring us to God. The Son came down from heaven because the triune God did not want humankind to be left to itself, left to its sin and division and destruction. In Genesis 11 at the Tower of Babel, when humanity was trying to make a name for itself, division and separation ensued. This was not the way it was supposed to be. And God chose to send his Son to that exact world and heal it. At Pentecost last week, we saw what could happen when people who were still very much reaping the consequences of Babel, were given a new name. You remember the scene. The people gathered were all speaking in different languages and telling of the mighty works of God. The Jews and Gentiles, who for years despised each other, were given a new name that joined them together, the name of Jesus Christ. And God is still working in this way today. He does not want us to be left making a name for ourselves. He knows that'll only lead to our destruction. He desires to come to us, and in baptism, he gives us his own name that is above every name. This is the only name which joins people from every nation and race together, rather than dividing and separating them. As Paul says in Philippians 2, it is at the name of Jesus Christ that every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every single one of us. If we are looking for any hope in the face of our current divisions, we must begin, each of us, by returning to our baptisms, by bending our knee to the Lord of heaven and earth, who alone is, and evermore will be, the only source of lasting unity. The second person of the Holy Trinity still lives right now in our human flesh. As ruler of the works of God's hands, and with all things placed under his feet, our Lord willed that his magnificent, beautiful creation would not exist without you and me in it, and that it would not exist without every person we encounter in it. He is not in any way distant or cold or aloof from what is happening to his creation. He didn't create us and let us fend for ourselves. The work of God's fingers is ongoing as he remains intimately involved and tenderly mindful of each one of us. Why? Because he loves every creature he has made with unfathomable love, a unifying love that we actually get to participate in and demonstrate to each other. This love that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit share with us can truly upend and change the whole world. The change might come in the form of listening attentively to someone very different from ourselves, or offering to help a neighbor with an unwelcome task. It might come in the form of taking a walk and praying for our neighborhoods. There are as many ways that this love will take shape as there are people in God's creation. But all of this must begin with recognizing the humanity of one another. The love of God working in us begins with showing that persons we encounter are men and women and children who are made in the image of God, which means that they too are made for the infinite and perfect and unifying love that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit created humankind to receive. So on this Trinity Sunday, may we come to praise God with one voice. Let us yearn to join the psalmist's song, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. May we together praise God for giving us a share in his name, in his authority, and his own spirit in baptism, so that we too can share the love of the triune God with others. May our praise together today spill out into our homes, our neighborhoods, and into our hurting world, which is marked by distrust and disunity. And may the God of all hope fill us with the unbreakable assurance that the unity shared in heaven can truly be shared on earth, because Jesus Christ lives, to the glory of his Father and the unity of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Father God, Creator, the seas and stars and earth. Creation tells the story of your immeasurable worth. I know these words were not enough. I know these words will fail to sing the vastness of your love and how it will prevail. My sin is all around me. I shine not on my own. My way was lost in darkness. Your light has led me home. I know these words are not enough. I cannot make a plea. These words I bring will fall so short, they cannot rescue me. Jesus, Savior, Son, and King, a prophet and a priest, the Word of Life incarnate, sinners you came to seek. I know these words are not enough to praise the crown you adorned. You came and died upon the cross, the veil in two was torn. Hosanna to the Son, and glory to the Father, the Spirit three in one.
Let us profess the faith of the Church with the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord of creation, how beautiful you have again adorned our land. Trees full and green, planted fields, poking the first of the fall's harvest out. And yes, we've noticed and welcomed the warm weather so very much. How amazing it is that you think of what brings us pleasure and so faithfully release it. Accept our thankfulness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of justice, when we pray in gratitude for setting us down in such a good creation, even giving us dominion over it, we are forced at the same time to ask, why us? What do you see in us that coaxes your providence and mercy toward us? Have we set over the works of your hands people, tended to that work well? The turmoil in our cities would say no. Yet from us you ordain praise, but please also humility and repentance. We've much to get better at. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Good Shepherd, it is our custom to pray for our nation's first responders, which include those in law enforcement. It is our joy and duty to do so. But when they fail at their jobs, as we all do at ours, the consequences are grave. So many wonderful officers serve us, and their job, always complex, is harder now. Protect them who protect us, and protect us from any who may have lost their way and would instead harm us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Christ, our Redeemer, you who became a little lower than the angels, teach us that servanthood is what your Father meant when he put us over the works of his creation, not lordship. That belongs to you alone. Awaken our charity most definitely, expand its capacity and reach, and meet the profound needs of our neighbors. But also give us hearts of charity too, ones that see the image of God in all life, all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of wisdom, we thank you for Gwen Ryan and Emily Berger graduating from high school this week. May they feel your pleasure resting on them. Sarah Kalupa and Elise Baumgartner have gone on to complete college degrees, a wonderful accomplishment. May they and their families enjoy this moment in their lives. We are proud of them all and thankful for them. Your guidance on the days and decisions ahead are what we also ask. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yours are the names above all names. We ask that our worship and our witness honor your holiness this day. Arrest anything that would cause us to tarnish the name we so humbly bear, Christian. You are God eternally, undivided and glorious, now and always. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Your perfect law exposes me. I feel my sin and desperate need. My best good works are powerless to satisfy your righteousness.
Peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.